Okay, let's have a Bible study. Now remember, last Wednesday, we discerned that God works through us, by His Word, through our lips. God works through us, by His Word, through our lips. It would be useless to pray for someone who is lost if we did not carry the gospel of salvation to him. Remember, we talked about these things. You know, sometimes people want to see the gifts of the Holy Spirit operating in their lives, and they just refuse to do the first thing Jesus said, which is go into all the world and preach the gospel, which is where the gifts of the Holy Spirit are needed. Amen? But we also talked about these signs that follow. When you preach the word, there are signs following. But they do not follow an individual. Don't get frustrated. They don't follow pastors. They don't follow evangelists. They don't follow apostles, prophets, teachers. They follow the word. Give the word out and the signs will take care of themselves. Do not follow signs. Signs follow the word, but do not follow signs. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. I cannot express to you enough about the importance of this. And we're getting closer and closer to the day. You're going to have to compare everything to the Word. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3 says, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God and that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember you not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity does already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders." See, even the devil can do signs and wonders. The devil can do lying and signs and wonders. That's how he catches people's attention. See, he knows that people that aren't born again, they have to deal with their five natural senses. So they're looking to see something. And if the church is just sitting on their butt, not doing anything, and these people don't see anything, the devil will step up there and let them see something. They'll say, "Oh." Have you ever wondered why there's so much excitement and so much curiosity to the cult and these different Eastern religions and black magic and stuff like that? If you've ever wondered why, here's the reason why. Every single human being on the face of this planet is a spirit. And before they were born on this earth, they were in contact with the miracle working God, the supernatural God, the one true living God. They were in contact with Him before they came to this earth. Think about that for a second. Now, they get on this earth, They have a craving for the supernatural. It's in them to crave the supernatural. Now, if the church doesn't show them something supernatural, the devil will. And sometimes the devil will use churchgoers to draw people's attention away from Jesus and get them on these signs and wonders. You got to be absolutely careful. If what you're hearing preached does not point you directly to Jesus, as Him being the center of everything and the answer for everything, then it's not the gospel. If it doesn't lead to Jesus Christ and Him crucified, stay away from it. Let's look at another one here. Revelation chapter 13, verse 13. He does great wonders, so that He makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. So there's the devil again, in one of his courts, doing great wonders, bringing fire down. You know, people that aren't born again want to see something happen. They want to see somebody get well. They want to see somebody get healed. They want to see somebody get delivered. They want to see something happen. Because they're not really sure. You know, they see people going to church, but they don't really see much happening. You know, they see people go to church every Sunday. Then they watch them. Did you know people watch you? People watch you. They're watching you to see what happens. One of the most confusing things I ever heard in my life was this guy said, you should preach the gospel every day. And if you have to, use words. What is he even talking about? I just thought, man, that's crazy. Well, 2 or 3 years after I heard that, my pastor called me and said, do you know so-and-so? And I said, kind of, I don't, not too much, but kind of. And they said, well, they came to church and they said, we knew Skeet before Jesus and we knew Skeet after Jesus. Whatever you did to him, do that to us. Geez, I can't even remember talking to him about Jesus. You know, but things change. Just know this, that people are watching you. You know, they want to see something happen. They're looking for proof. They want to know if God is real or not. They don't want to hear God is real. They want to see God is real. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 13, verse 1. If there arises among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams and gives thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, wherever he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them, thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. You shall walk after the Lord your God, and fear him, keep his commandments, and obey his voice, and you shall serve him and cleave unto him. That prophet, that dreamer of dreams, shall be put to death, because he has spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you out of the house of bondage. So there, right there, God was warning people that this could happen. And today, there's people out there that are turning people's heads away from Jesus. There's a book called Spiritual Abuse, and it talks about in a certain part of this book where there's a circle. And in the middle of that circle is supposed to be Jesus. All the pastors and teachers and prophets and apostles and evangelists, all these people are outside this circle with everybody else. And our job is to point people to Jesus. Point people to Jesus. That's why I've put so much stress on the importance that God's best for you is to have one-on-one conversations with you where you can hear him, where you can talk to him in confidence, and you can be led by his Spirit. Where Jesus is your answer. A lot of people ask me for advice on what to do. And my main goal is to point them to Jesus. I've had several people ask me about divorce. And I point them to Jesus. They're wanting my permission. And I'm not going to give it to them. I won't deny it to them, but I'm not going to give them permission. I say you need to be led by God on this. Had people ask me about jobs. Should I take this job? I say, you need to ask God, where do you want to go to church? That makes them scratch their head. Should I move to this other town? I say, is that where he wants you to go to church? Sometimes the answer doesn't look the way people think it should look. They want me to get into agreement that this is the job I'm supposed to have. And I'm telling them to get into agreement with God on what they're supposed to do. Amen? But what happens in this circle sometimes is these pastors, and I've seen it happen, these pastors will slip into this circle and get people looking at them. And they put themselves and their people in a dangerous position. And I've seen it get so carried away where people would actually go ask this pastor, say, is this the girl I'm supposed to marry? No, that's not what you're supposed to do. As if he knows anything at all about it. I told that guy, I said, you know you're supposed to marry her. And so he finally got his head straight, married her, and they went on missions around the world together. Another guy went and asked him, said, I think I'm supposed to go to the mission field. And this guy was making pretty good money. He had a big construction business, and he was making pretty good money. He said, I think I'm supposed to go in the mission field, go down to this place and do this. And this guy said, no. That's all crazy talk. You're not supposed to do that. So he stayed there for another 12 years. And he contacted me on Facebook, said, I'm going to the mission field. I said, you're right back to where you were 12 years ago. And he just kind of went silent. I was talking to him on the phone, actually, and he just kind of went silent. And he said, yeah. Don't get me wrong, I liked where I was, but you're right. He just got delayed by 12 years because somebody slipped in the circle and got the people's attention on the pastor. That's crazy. Sometimes when people start seeing signs and wonders, they start seeing something really cool happening, they'll want to look at that pastor. And the pastor has to be very careful to make sure that he makes the people look at Jesus. We'll go to one more place. Matthew chapter 24, verse 24. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. So Jesus right there, in his own words, were telling us that there's going to be some false teachers, some false prophets, false Christs that arise among you. They may be doing signs and wonders. They may be doing miracles. But always know this. If the gospel of Jesus Christ isn't put forth and then those miracles happen, you need to take a step back and pay attention to what they're saying. Because if it's not by Christ, if it's not by the name of Jesus, then it's by Satan. And you need to not get involved with that. Amen? Always, whatever you do, whatever you hear, whatever you see, measure it according to the Word. Amen? All you have to do is preach the Word, and God will confirm it. If you will preach the Word, signs will follow. If the signs aren't following, then you're not preaching the Word. When you're talking to somebody about Jesus, tell them about Jesus. Tell them what His Word says. That's all you got to do. Tell them that Jesus loves them. Amen? Tell them how Jesus heals. Tell them how Jesus died on the cross for their sins. How God raised Him back to life. That's the gospel. God will not confirm tradition with signs following. It doesn't matter how many years somebody has been preaching some doctrine in a church. It could go on for generation after generation. But God is not going to honor tradition with signs following. He will honor the Word with signs following, not tradition. Jesus said, the tradition of your forefathers has made the Word of God to none effect. So we got people running around saying it's okay for Adam to marry Steve. And they're also saying it's okay for Adam to be a pastor when he's married to Steve. That is a tradition that they came up with. That is not the gospel. When people get away from the Word, they come up with some crazy ideas. They're not their own ideas. They're Satan's ideas. They come up with these bad ideas. How do you suppose 50 pastors came up with the idea to go bless Planned Parenthood? How do you suppose that happened? They didn't get that from the Bible. They didn't get that idea from God. They got away from the Word. They stopped following the Word. God moves only in line with His Word. He has magnified His Word above His own name. Look at Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. One thing about confession of the Word. Not only does confession build faith, but confession dispels fear. Isaiah chapter 41 verse 10 says, "Fear thou not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness." Have you ever noticed in reading the Bible how many times God has told his children to fear not? Pretty much one for every day of the year. Now here's the thing. People will come in contact with fear. You know, fear is a spirit. You have to understand fear is a spirit. And it didn't come from God. God has given you the spirit of love, power, and a sound mind. But they'll come in contact with that spirit of fear. And instead of saying something, they'll internalize that fear. Then they'll start talking about that fear. They'll start talking about how afraid they are. "I'm afraid I'm going to lose my job. I'm afraid my wife's going to get sick. I'm afraid this is going to happen. I'm afraid that's going to happen." What happened? They just took that spirit of fear in, accepted it as their own, and then started speaking it into the atmosphere. You know, faith comes by hearing by the word, and hearing by the word of God. Fear comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the devil. What happens when you meditate on the words of faith? Faith grows strong in your heart. You speak those words of faith, you hear them in your ears, and they get back in your heart. Then you speak them out again, you hear them in your ears, and you get them back in your heart. And faith gets stronger and stronger. It's the same thing with fear. You talk about your fears. You speak it out. You hear it. It gets in your heart. And it grows even stronger. And then you speak it again. And you hear it again. And then you get it back in your heart again. The thing about getting rid of that spirit is you're going to have to use the Word of God to get rid of that. And you'll almost have to be just like a junkie, you know, or a hardcore alcoholic or drug addict that gets taken off the street and put into a safe place where they're completely away from that, where they're not seeing the drug of their choice. They're not smelling it. They're not tasting it. It's out of their reach. Same way with people, when they get consumed with fear, they have to get into an atmosphere of faith, and they have to stay there. And they have to keep bombarding that with the word of faith. Look at Luke chapter 8, verse 50. When Jairus sought Jesus to heal his daughter, the Lord said to him, "Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole." Did you notice the first thing Jesus did? This guy came and his daughter was in trouble. And the first thing Jesus did was address his fear. He said, "Fear not." He didn't address the sickness. He didn't address anything else. He addressed his fear. He knew he had to get this guy, his mind right. He had to get his heart right. He said, "Believe only. Fear will wreck everything you have. Believe only." Look at Luke chapter 12, verse 32. When Christ was preaching to his disciples, He said, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Jesus said, "Fear not." Sometimes people are afraid that they're not going to get blessed. But Jesus said, "Fear not. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." What's that mean? Everything that you need is met in that. Well, I'm afraid I'm not going to have enough food. Fear not. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He's happy to meet your needs. Sometimes people have to look at the things that bug them. Because the things that bug them the most and continually nag on them are the things they're afraid of. Amen? Look at Psalms chapter 119, verse 28. It's a long psalm. But verse 28 says, "My soul melts for heaviness. Strengthen me according to your word." You know, sometimes when we focus on our troubles, when we focus on our challenges and focus on everything that we have to get done, it gets to weighing heavy in our minds. And then pretty soon we feel that on our spirit. Have you felt that? Where it just feels heavy inside and it just gets harder to breathe and you're worried and you're thinking about your challenges? That's what happens. When your soul is melting for heaviness, it's actually, it's a burden on you to worry. Worry about all this stuff. But he said, "Strengthen me according to your word." So when we take our eyes off of our problems, off of our challenges, off all this stuff we got to get done, and put it on Jesus, put it on his word, when we look unto him, you'll feel that burden go away. The bill might still be there. The sickness might still be there. The challenge might still be there. But the burden gets lifted off of you. That's what we want. Now go down to verse 130. "The entrance of thy words giveth light. It gives understanding unto the simple." You know, when we can't see what's going on, when we can't understand what we got to do, that's darkness. You know, we can't see the answer. We don't know the answer. That's darkness. But the entrance of his word gives light. Gives understanding to the simple. That's good news for us, Butch. Me and you, we got to keep things simple. Some of these guys walk around with telescopes, they might be able to do some math and get it all complicated and all that kind of stuff, but we need it simple. His word brings understanding. It brings light to our problems. It brings understanding to us. We'll be able to understand what we got to do. Amen? We'll get guidance from that. Let's look forward here. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. This is a really fun one. One thing about our confession, we can run around and we can say, "God is with me. God is in me." You're not lying. God is with me. God is in me. "Greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world." All these challenges, the pressure that we run into, you know, comes from life and comes from the devil, comes from a lot of different things. But guess what? The greater one is on the inside of you. When you got born again, who moved in? The one that beat up the devil. He's in there. So we need to make our confessions line up with the Word of God so we can build faith in our hearts. See, this is an exercise that we can do daily. You can do it all day long if you want. You know, when you just run into a lull, you can just confess a few scriptures. Sometimes, you know, even when you're busy and you're working and there's nobody around, you can confess scriptures. You can memorize a psalm so you can get it in your heart so you can confess it later. Amen? You can find a few scriptures that are promises to the problems that you're facing. And memorize those. Get those in your heart so you can say them. You know, Jesus, he encountered the devil out in the wilderness, and he said a peculiar thing. He said, "It is written." Every time the devil hit him with something, he said, "It is written. It is written." You can do that. That'll drive the devil nuts. Get a scripture memorized that is an answer to the problem you're facing. Memorize it. Next time the devil confronts you with your problem, you say, "It is written." And then say your scripture. Amen? Okay. Thank you, Father, for your word. We praise you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for everything that you do for us on a daily basis as our high priest, our creator. We thank you that we know that our next breath depends on you, and you freely give it to us. It's by your grace. We don't deserve it, but it's your gift. We praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.